Man, I look young and non-stressed out in that picture, huh? It's a good picture. How's everybody doing? You guys ready to wrap up? It's been a great conference the last few days, huh? Can you give God a big hand for what he's done in all of our hearts? Yeah. Man, it has just been phenomenal. And I don't know about you, but I've been really encouraged and challenged and inspired and convicted by all of our speakers. And it's just great getting together for a couple of days and being together, isn't it? Laughing together, telling stories, and coming together and celebrating what God's doing in the ark, and then getting challenged, man, and getting encouraged about going to the next level and being everything that God's called us to be. I want to wrap up the conference today, and I want to talk to you about frontline leadership. Everybody say frontline leadership, because I am talking to the front line. So just look around you, look at your team, look at who you're sitting next to, because guess what? This is it. This is the frontline leadership of the local church, or at least the churches that God has called us to steward. And Jesus has a real powerful message here. In Mark chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 10. He has a powerful message to church planters. He's going to talk to his frontline leaders. He's going to talk to his leadership. I mean, this is a mini ark meeting here. And he's going to encourage them. He's going to challenge them to go out and plant churches. And he's going to give them three leadership lessons, three frontline leadership lessons or tests that every leader must pass if you're going to be the person who God's called you to be, and if your church is going to be the church that God wants it to be. So let's look here in Mark chapter 10, verse 35. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, you guys know these guys, these were the sons of thunder. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. How many of you know that's a great prayer right there? Isn't that a church planter's prayer? Isn't that a senior pastor's prayer? God, we want it all. We want it all, man. We want the biggest building. We want to go to the best place. We want to reach the most people. We want all the toys. Lord, all we want is for you to do for us whatever we ask. And really, it's a great prayer. It's a prayer of greatness. It's a prayer of vision. And so Jesus addresses this, and he's like, all right, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us, just a small request here, Lord, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. Just a small request, God. Just one little thing, Jesus. Just one small thing here. In your glory, Lord, all we're asking is that we can sit on your right and on your left. And what these guys are doing is, I mean, it's really awesome. They're kind of going around about it a little bit the wrong way, or they don't really understand what they're asking. That's what we're going to find out. But really, what you see here, you see two guys. You see these sons of thunder. You're looking at apostles. You are looking at future church planters. And man, they have vision. And they have a passion for greatness. And my prayer, my hope for you, for all of us, is that we would never lose our passion for greatness. Not that we're great, but that God is great and that his church would be great. And that he would be glorified. That's what this leadership lesson that Jesus is giving here, it's for people, they said, man, in your glory, it is for people who have a vision for greatness. Listen, do you have a vision for greatness? Greatness and Christ-likeness are synonymous. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. A vision for greatness is not prideful. A vision for greatness is actually birthed out of a spirit of brokenness and humility, that you want God to be all that he can in your life and in your church during our short time on this earth. We need to remember, listen, you know, we're having fun and we're talking about all these things and we're laughing and all that. But we have to remember, look, our lives are but a vapor. We are here 1 second and then we are gone. There is a mission to do. There is a job to do. People are going to hell as I speak. And we've been commissioned with the precious gospel of God. And oh, the privilege that, wow, like these guys, man, the privilege that we could share in God's glory, so to speak, that we could be entrusted with the stewardship of the greatest thing on planet Earth, that is the local church. Man, do you guys love what you're doing or not? Is this awesome? Is this just the best ever? There's nothing more fulfilling. There's nothing I would rather do. I mean, I had this passion for free a long time before I ever got paid for it. If you are in the ministry because you need a job, you need to quit. You'll end up quitting anyway, or you'll get fired. I'll fire you right now. Look. So watch. So look at this. This is really powerful. If you're taking notes, I'm not going to be long, and we're going to close with prayer. I know we have been preached up these last few days. It's been great, hasn't it? Just preached up. So look what Jesus says to them, you do not know what you ask. Here in verse 38. And so in other words, what Jesus is saying here, he's not rebuking them for asking the wrong thing. That they're asking a good thing. They're aspiring for greatness. They have this vision. Jesus knows the call of leadership on their life. Jesus is the one who chose them. What he's saying is, he's like, you guys don't understand that question and really what goes with it. And he's about to lay out three crucial lessons or three tests that every leader must pass for greatness. These tests, they are reoccurring. They never go away. You're going to see that this is something that we always deal with as leaders. And look what the first test. Here's the first thing that Jesus says. Jesus says, are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Are you ready for this? Watch. Man, this is great. This is awesome. Do you have a vision to plant a church? Do you have a vision for greatness, man? Are you just excited about reaching your community? You know what the first lesson that Jesus says? Okay, to do that, are you ready? You'd better understand this is the first lesson. You better understand pain. He said, this is a great question, guys, but are you ready? Can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink of? Talking about paying the price. And are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'll be baptized with? He's talking about the baptism of suffering. Listen, there is a price to pay to advance the kingdom of God and the cause of Christ. And the first lesson that Jesus says, and if I can be honest, this is the number one thing that I was not prepared for in the ministry. I was not prepared for the pain that I was going to have to deal with, that I was going to endure. Get ready for pain. Are you excited? You know, and that's one of the great things about ARC. You know, if you listen to every single speaker, the great leaders that have spoken during this conference, if you think about what they said, each and every one of them had a story of pain within their message. Each and every one of them had a story of pain. I mean, Ed last night talking about the subject of betrayal. And all of us go through, there's different types of pain. There's the pain of relationships and betrayal and things like that. There's the pain of paying the price. There's always a price to pay. There's the pain of decisions that we have to make. Let me speak to pastors and leaders and leadership teams. There will be decisions that you will have to make. See, there's some types of pain that are reactive. It just happens to us and we have to deal with that. But there are some types of pains that we bring on in the sense that, and they're God, because we have to make a tough decision as a leader. And I want to ask you that. What tough decision do you need to make as a leader that you know is going to be painful, but you know it's the right thing to do, and you know it's the God thing to do? You have to learn. Listen, I know this isn't fun. I know this isn't whoo-hoo-hoo. We've got to learn how to embrace the pain. Will you embrace the pain of the tough decisions that you need to make as a leader? That's what Jesus is telling James and John. Man, when you have to dismiss a staff person, or when there's something that you have to deal with, you've got to get used to stepping into the pain of ministry. Because watch this. Suffering, Ed said it last night, there's a brutal part of ministry, but there's also a beautiful part of ministry. And this is what Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 12, 49, when he says, oh man, I've come to bring fire on the earth. And oh, I wish it could happen right now, but there's a baptism that I must go through. The baptism of suffering, the very fire of God will come out of your ministry. When you suffer for Christ as he's called you to suffer, there is a suffering today. Can I have an amen? This is what Paul said. Paul talked about that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, but also what? The fellowship of his sufferings. It's in the suffering, man. It's in the betrayal. It's in the tough decision. It's in the, as Joe was talking about today, no one's showing up and I want to quit and I don't understand this. And Greg was talking about the woman and learning that tough leadership lesson about not being political and all those types of things. It's in all those pains. Guess what? Where Christ is formed. That's where we're tested. That's where we're put through the fire, man. That's where we die to self. That's where we experience the baptism of pain and drink the cup of death to ourselves, that Jesus can come out and the fire of God can come out and it can set our cities ablaze. You know, if you go back, there's a great just church planning lesson about paying the price. Back in, if you go back to the days of Moses, how Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt there. Excuse me just a second. How Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it's a beautiful picture of church planning and really the life of a local church and going on to greatness. There's really three phases of paying the price. You can write this down, okay? There's the pioneering phase. The pioneering phase, that's when, you know, obviously Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. I mean, in the pioneering phase, and many of you are in the pioneering phase right now, all you have is what? All you have is a call from God. That's all you have. You have a promise from God. And we receive the promises of God by faith. You have a vision. You have a promise of God. He's called you to go to an area. Just like he called Moses to go out into the wilderness and worship him. It was pioneering. They didn't have the Ten Commandments yet. They didn't have a church culture yet. They didn't have a real mission yet. I mean, they didn't really have a DNA yet. All they had was a call. But it's in those pioneering days where you learn to pay the price. Can I have a good amen to that? And we can never lose our pioneering spirit because everything builds on top of that. You've got to have a pioneering spirit. Man, I can remember in Celebration Church, you know, like Moses, I really had no formal ministry training. You want to know where I got trained for the ministry? I got trained for the ministry in the bar that I worked at. Anybody ever come out of the bar? Anybody in the club, the bar? Lifestyle. Come on, let me see your hands right now. Bartenders, bouncers, club people. Come on, you make great pastors. You know what I'm saying? You do. Why? Because a bar, it's so much like a church. Just look at the way that a club is run. What? You come in the front doors, there's the bouncers, kind of like the ushers. Right out there. You come in, what is it? There's dark and lights, and there's usually a band, you know, kind of like the praise and worship. Everybody's smiling, everybody's happy, you know, because they're in the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but they're in the Spirit. They're talking and all that. Then what do you do? There's a bartender. He's kind of like the pastor, and people come to the bar. It's kind of like the altar. What do they do? Just like you tell your pastor all your problems, they tell the bartender all their problems, and then he gives them something to make them feel better. That's where I got all my ministry training. That's why where I am today. No, I'm just kidding. How many of you know, but we got the real thing in the house of God, that all that other stuff is just a counterfeit. Can I have a good amen to that? It's just a counterfeit. I didn't also read the Bible. So it was the Bible and the bar. That was my ministry training. But I just remember that pioneer spirit, do whatever it takes. I remember I had no real formal ministry training. Man, there was no ark. There was no conferences like this. There was absolutely nothing. 12-month guarantee. We didn't have any guarantee. We had 3 months. If it didn't work after 3 months, it was over. We did everything wrong in that church plant. You realize this? I forgot. We had 7 people on our launch team. We were so just consumed with launching the church and how I forgot that. I forgot all kind of things. I forgot. I forgot we didn't have a keyboard player. So we got 2 weeks out from the launch of the church. Guess who learned keyboard? Yo. I learned it. They got me one of those keyboards that you could put like a letter like A, B, C, and it would play the different, like, instruments, and they taught me how to, like, A, C, D, hit the thing. I learned the keyboard 2 weeks out. I'd never played a musical instrument before in my life. 2 weeks out of the church. I'll tell you how to reach church people. Make your launch so horrible that the only people that could possibly stay are unsaved people, because they have no idea what church is supposed to be like. I learned the keyboard. Our mailer, we did a mailer. I mean, our launch team was 7. I mean, you're talking about strategy and all this stuff. I mean, all the training and getting we had 7 people. We sent out a mailer. Guess what? We were so busy, I didn't have time to proofread it. After the mailer went out, I got the mailer. We launched in Jacksonville, Florida. On the mailer, they misspelled the word Jacksonville. They put 2 N's in it. Jacksonville. I can remember we showed up the first service. I didn't have a pulpit. I can remember duct taping 2 music stands together with duct tape to put it to make a pulpit so I could hurry up and preach. I remember before that, to get the misspelled mailer out. Like, now we train people with 501c3s and all that. Something happened to our 501c3. It wasn't going through right. I went down to the postal office. I had to bribe a postal worker to send out our mailers. That's right, bribery. I resorted to it all. Bribery, extortion. To get our mailers out. I never forget talking to that postal worker. And I was talking to her, and like, yeah, and I found out she liked fish, and I went to my freezer, and I got all the fish out of my freezer. And I brought her an ice chest of fish. I brought money. I brought fish. I brought whatever I could bring to make sure those mailers went out. You know why? Because watch this. You have got to do whatever it takes, and you cannot lose that whatever it takes attitude when you're paying the price. And this is the beautiful thing. In that season, man, you're going to see God come through. You're going to see the Red Sea parted. You're going to see all these miracles. But then you're going to have to keep paying the price so you can go to the next level. Then what happened? Okay, then the tabernacle, the Ten Commandments, the sacrificial system. Then it started getting into the next generation. So Moses was the pioneering phase. Come on, just getting out there in the wilderness and having a church service. You have one goal, church planners. have that church service and do it as well as you possibly can. Can I have a good amen to that? Then the next stage would be the Joshua. That's where you go from pioneering to possessing. Now, all of a sudden, the church grows. You realize it's working. There's a culture. There's the, as they had the Ten Commandments, the sacrificial system. There was teams built. There was culture. There was all this kind of stuff. And so then there was the Joshua, and they possessed. That's when you start to get wins, and they go in and they begin to possess the promised land. And they come in to and they realize that this is working, man. Those are great days. Like, that's when you realize, guess what? Like, it's actually working. Like, wow, like, God's, there's something unique here. There's something great that might happen here. You start to realize, wow, this is actually working. We receive the promises of God by faith, but we possess them through faithfulness. And we have to continue to pay that price through pioneering, through possessing. But then it comes down to the third tier of paying the price. And this is the toughest one. And that's prevailing. Everybody say prevailing. And you can see this at the end of the life of Joshua. The end of the life of Joshua, the third generation is going in. They've got the promised land. They've got everything. And God said, look, I need you to completely drive out all the inhabitants. But the Bible says that third generation went in, and when the children of Israel were strong, they had the spiritual momentum. They had it. When they were strong, they failed to completely drive out the Canaanites. And this is where in the life of a church, and I want to talk to pastors here where maybe your churches, they've grown, you've experienced a degree of success. This is the danger of third generation expansion, that we lose that pioneer spirit, that we lose that paying the price, and all of a sudden we kind of get this spirit of entitlement. And that's what happened in that third generation. They oh man, we got it going on, things are good. And they just couldn't go put the extra effort and completely drive out the pockets of resistance to come into their destiny and really prevail like God called them to prevail. I want to ask you a question. What pockets of resistance are you facing right now in your church, in your ministry, that you're not willing to deal with? It could be a staffing situation. It could be a ministry vision alignment situation. It probably, and the reason that you're not dealing with it is probably because you're unwilling to step in to the temporary pain and pay the price and make the tough decision as a leader. And what Jesus taught these guys, number one, if you want to aspire for greatness, if you want to be everything that I've called you to be, if you really want to see the glory of God on your church, you have to learn to endure pain. Can I have a good amen to that? Let's look at this. The second thing. Look what Jesus says. So he says, the first thing is pain. And they said to him, we are able. Come on, everybody say, we are able. We are able. God, we're going to do it. Lord, we're going to embrace it. We're going to go through it, whatever we have to go through for you. And look what Jesus says. Jesus says, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I'm baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it is for those for whom it is prepared. And in Matthew chapter 20, it even qualifies this further. Jesus says, whom it is prepared by my Father. The second test every leader must pass is the test of submission. Test of submission. Watch what Jesus says. Jesus is going to demonstrate submission to authority to them. Jesus is saying this, look, you want this request? Guys, I want you to notice that even I, the Son of Man, the Son of God, God in the flesh, I'm in submission to my Father. And I'm not going to step out of line and even offer my opinion on something that my father has not given me the right to do. The second thing that he models for, he models paying the price. The second thing he models is submission to authority. We've talked a lot about honor. I want to take it up a notch. Let's talk about the S word in church. Submission. Everybody say submission. This is what Jesus, if you want to be great, you're going to have to pass the submission test. Are you honoring your authority? Let me tell you about, here's where the submission test is. Are you ready? Here's where you're tested in submission. Number one, you're tested when you don't agree with the leadership decision. And you know what I found most of the times when people don't agree with the leadership decision? It's not that they really disagree with it philosophically. They just don't like it. You know why? Because it usually involves them paying a price. It's like Ed was talking about. You know, people with you and people for you. Oh, yeah. Hey, we're going to increase your budget by $50,000 this year. Man. Yeah, great. Thanks. Yes, Pastor. That's not submission. It's easy to submit when we agree. There's no test of submission there. The test of submission comes when we don't agree. The test of submission comes when the leader is not there. How do you act? How do you honor your leader when they are not around? And Jesus gave a real powerful principle when he talked about the parable of the talents. You know, in the parable of the talents, when it talks about the master came and he delivered his goods, and you know, the five produced five more, two produced two more, but one just, he didn't lose it, but he just managed it, he didn't grow it. Do you realize you have been entrusted with your leader's honor? And as a good steward of your leader's honor, you should be growing the honor of your senior pastor. You should be growing the honor of your senior leader. And that is done when they're not around. What did the master do? He gave him the goods. He went off to a far off country. They grew the honor. They grew what they were entrusted with while they're not around. Are you following me? Listen, let's pass the submission test. Can I have a good amen? And the final thing here, watch this. So he talks about submission. Then he goes on here in Mark chapter 10, verse 41, he says, and when the 10 heard it, watch this, just a little side note. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Just a little side note here. Some strife is going to develop in the disciples right here. Because really, James and John, a sincere request, but really they were promoting themselves. And whenever you find strife, if you trace the root of that strife, usually self-promotion is involved. Because of the self-promotion of James and John, now there was strife going on in the disciples. Look what he says. He says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. So watch this. He's addressing the greatness issue. He says there's nothing wrong with wanting to become great. He says, whoever desires to become great among you will be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The third thing is identity. There's pain, there's submission, and then the third thing is identity. Do you see yourself? Watch. Here's what Jesus says. And here's what happened to the children of Israel in that third generation. Why didn't they, when they were strong, Judges 28, completely drive out the Canaanites? Because it seemed, if you read the text there, it seems like they have a spirit of entitlement. In other words, they thought, hey, we deserve this. We've paid enough of the price. There's always a price to pay. So here's what Jesus says. The way that you get out of this spirit of entitlement, or the way that you protect yourself from that temptation, he says, remember this. Even I, the Son of Man, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. In other words, Jesus says, here's how I view myself, guys. Once again, the Son of God. I do not view myself as a leader who serves, but I view myself as a servant who's been given the opportunity to lead. Do you view yourself as a leader who serves, or do you view yourself as a servant who's been given the opportunities to lead? If you view yourself as a leader who serves, guess what? Eventually, some things are going to be beneath you. Eventually, some things, you say, oh, well, I'm just, some things are going to be beneath you. But if you just see yourself as a servant who's been given opportunities to lead, you will keep the pioneer spirit. You will keep it, man, when you get into the possession phase, man, you're not going to blow it. You're not going to mess it up. And then watch. Then when you get into that final phase of prevailing, you're not going to get lazy. You're not going to fall into a spirit of entitlement, but you're going to knock out what God set before you so you can be who God's called you to be. Are you feeling me? Man. Gang, is not the cause of Christ enough? We're not in this, man. We're not in this to have cool churches and stuff and, you know, just to have jobs. Man, we're here to pay a price and we're here to get the job done. That's what we're here for. And listen, let me help you. If you are a lead team or support staff, listen, if you don't like it, tough. Watch, newsflash, you ready for this? This is for all of us. This is for me. Are we leaders who serve? Or are we servants who've just been given opportunities to lead? What are we, man? What's our identity? Are we these, you know, cool mega church pastors and all this kind of stuff? And man, this is all cool and this is all fun. Yes, there's a lot of fun. And that's a great thing about ARC, man. We come together and we laugh and we have fun. But you know what? A lot of that laughter and fun, you know what ARC's about? You heard pain in every single story today. We can come together in one big therapy session and laugh at all of our bonehead mistakes. We can come together and talk about all of the failures and all of the mistakes. We can share the pain and we can laugh at it. I'm telling you right now, one ARC meeting a year will keep you off Prozac. And we are pro-pill at ARC, but I'm telling you, you will take less pills. I wish this organ worked right here. I'd get them. Man, I was preaching. Watch this. Does anybody preach with an organ? Are we too cool for that? I'm for a revival of pulpits and organs back in the local church. I like this, a big steel pulpit. For a while, I felt like I was out of place everywhere I went. I mean, everyone had these tiny little stools and these little micro, little tiny tables. You'd have like a note card. Look at this Bible. Some of you put up them little trendy little Bibles and get yourself a real Bible. What are we doing? Our Bibles are cool and our pulpits are cool and we're blogging and I'm glad we're all blogging and twittering. Are we praying and fasting? Man, is that what it's turned into? Who's got the most controversial, critical blog? Man, what about Jesus? What about the Word of God? What about seeking the face of God? What about the cross of Christ? What about pain? What about submission? What about sacrifice? What about being a servant? Man, I was speaking at John Siebling's church. John Siebling has an incredible church in Memphis, Tennessee. Thousands of people, totally multicultural, one of the most beautiful multicultural churches I've ever seen, right in that heart and strong bed of racism. If you know the history of the city of Memphis. And I was speaking there the other weekend. We did a men's conference, all this stuff. And I was on like my seventh or eighth service. And I was preaching. And I was preaching, and all of a sudden, he's got this, I didn't even know about these things, a B3 organs. Is anybody familiar with a B3? I mean, like the old school. I didn't even know they had these things. And I was preaching, I was kind of tired, and all of a sudden, somebody had got up on that B3 organ, and I was preaching, and he went, ding, and I went, ah. I kid you not. A jolt of electricity shot up my spine. It was like three Red Bulls and two seconds. It was just like this. I was just like, you know, and God. I mean, it was like a drug. I mean, like a not a bad drug, like a Holy Spirit drug, a good drug. That's why we can't get one at Celebration Church, because I get addicted. I would get addicted to the B3 organ. Hey, but isn't it cool? Isn't it, you know, I was thinking about this. Isn't it amazing how God has, what, the power of music? Isn't that amazing? Like in all of our cultures, how music plays such a part in our lives and in our communication and all that kind of stuff. Watch. I hope, because of the great sacrifice of our Savior, that all of us have a vision for greatness. I hope that in your glory, Lord, as they said, I hope that we have a vision for Christ to be glorified. My prayer is that we would look at the pain, submission, sacrifice, and the servanthood, that we would look at that as a privilege and an honor, and the very least that we could do to glorify and honor our Savior Jesus Christ, because He is so worthy. And watch this, in all of those things, guess what? The joy of the Lord gives us strength. I'm here to tell you today, there is nothing that everything that I've been through and everything the guys that you've heard have been through, man, I would do it all over again and times 10, because the love of Christ compels me. I love Jesus, and there's nothing in this world that's going to deter me from that. And I'm telling you, when you have Christ, He's all that you need. So follow God, get that vision hot. Pay the price and be everything that He's called you to be. And don't let any discouragement, any failure, or anything else slow you down. And know that we'll meet back next year for a big therapy session to share the pain and share the successes and laugh together and cry together and celebrate the goodness of God. Come on, stand to your feet and give God a big... Come on, you can do better than that. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, right now, let's just... God, we love You. All for You, Lord. All for You, God. Lord, we give it up to You. We celebrate You, God. Right now, remain standing right now. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You for the power of God. Lord, we thank You that we're chosen. What a privilege that we could be part of Your frontline leadership team. Oh God, this is incredible that we could even be at this conference. with the opportunity to advance your glory, to see greatness come for the name of Jesus, to reach our communities. Oh God, give us the fire of God. Lord, give us the power of the Holy Spirit. God, as Chris was talking about, and Dino was talking about, Lord, let the love of Christ compare us. God, Lord, let it not be an outward thing, Lord. Let us be driven by passion and love for Christ. Lord, we lift you up. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's what I want to do. What these men said, you saw that in the passage. Remember, they said this. Jesus says, will you do it? They said, yes, we are able. I want you to say yes to God today, but I want you to understand what that yes means. It means yes to suffering, yes to paying a price, yes to submitting to my authorities. It means yes, there's no entitlement. There's no entitlement here at ARC. We're not leaders who serve. We are just servants that have been given an opportunity to lead and steward God's church. If you say yes to that, I want you to raise your hand right wherever you are right now. Every lead team, every pastor, every church planner, just keep those hands up right now. I want to pray for you right now. Just keep those hands up. Father, you see these hands. Come on, receive the Holy Spirit right now. Receive the touch of God right now. Father, we just come and we receive the touch of the Holy Spirit. Lord, the gifts of the Spirit, the fire of God, Lord. Lord Jesus, you're the one who said, don't go out, don't plant, don't do it until you've been endued with power from on high. Lord, we just receive that fresh touch of power from on high right now. God, we repent of our sins. We thank you that we are washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It's going to be a great year. Everything that was said in this conference, Lord, seal it in our heart right now. As Dino talked about, humility, honesty, all those things, honor, all the speakers. Just sow those things in our heart. Let them get deep on the inside. God, so we'll pay the price for you. God, we thank you that we can share in the greatness of the kingdom of God and in the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Can you give God a big, big hand clap? Watch this. Don't leave. Don't leave or you will be fired. Maybe, possibly. No, I'm only kidding. Watch this. Here's what I need to do. This is our time. We're going to have a prayer. I need for every church planner. And watch, they need your prayers. That's why we don't want you to leave yet. We're going to have a prayer for our church planners, our interns, and then we're going to take up an offering. And let me tell you something about this offering. Billy, how many churches has ARC planned so far? 104. And how many this year? How many just this year? 30 this year. Do you realize that is almost one church every 3 days? Every 3 to 4 days, you guys have helped plant another church to bring glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now what? While I'm talking about this, I want all the church planters to come down here right now. All the church planters in your teams, I want you to come down here right now. And then the interns, I want you to wait till the church planters get down here. And then we want you guys to rally around them and rally behind them. Come on, let's give a hand up. Let's go. All of our new church planters and people that have planted in the last couple of months, Billy, are just... Yeah, and anybody who's going to plant, come on. Come down here, man. It's time for the Holy Spirit zap. How many of you know we need the Holy Spirit? This isn't a denominational or doctrinal thing. We're just talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, be endued from power, with power from on high. So we could be bold. We could be Christ's witnesses. See, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said, I have a baptism. I want to come and kindle fire on the earth. But first I must go through that suffering. See, it's the fire, it's the power of God that gives us the strength to get through what we need to get through. So we can be the witnesses that God's called us to be. Now, okay, so the interns, y'all are Lane. Should they just all kind of mix in here? Okay. We're going to pray for you right now. And I want everybody to join in this prayer right now. Just kind of line up in the aisles. We're going to call on heaven. We're calling on an open heaven. Everyone who's planning this year, and if you couldn't make it down here, just kind of join in. Thank you, Father. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. Come on, lift up a hand. That's just a sign of surrender. It's just a sign of surrender. That's all it is. Lord, we surrender to you. God, it's all about you. It's not about us. It's all about your greatness and your glory, God. It's not about us. It's not about us being personally fulfilled or doing it. Lord, it's all about you. So, Lord, right now, God, we ask, we call on the Holy Spirit to empower us. Holy Spirit, fall. Empower us and equip us in your call upon our lives. Lord, we pray for faith. Come on, receive the gift of faith right now. Lord, we pray for the fire of God, Lord. Receive that fire right now. Lord, we thank you for your fire. We thank you for your strength. Lord, we thank you for the ability to do everything that you've called us to do. God, we're not going to get discouraged. Come on, right now, settle it in your heart. Get ready. Listen, it's all part of it. Get ready for something to go wrong and rejoice in it. Get ready for the pain to come and thank God for the privilege of suffering for the cause of Christ. Get ready. Father, we thank you, Lord. We are going to endure. We are going to overcome. And Lord, we're going to pioneer. We're going to possess. And God, we're going to prevail. We are prevailing churches here at our. God, we're not going to leave pockets of resistance, but we're going to knock it out. We're going to get the job done, God. We're going to come into our destiny, Lord. And we give you all the thanks and all the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let me just tell you something before you sit down. Before you sit down, every Monday morning, our staff goes and unlocks the door to our office, and we start getting phone calls, and then faithful pastors and supporters of ARC send us checks, and we put them in the bank, and we talk to all of you, and we write you letters and send you emails, and we have CPRs all over the country. We do assessments in Atlanta, and we do R9. Now it's a new 7-day kind of intensive to help you learn how to launch. And then we do, every other week, we do a teleconference where one of our leadership team members talks to you on the phone for an hour to answer your questions. And then we hold big conferences like this and other things that we do. And it's not to give us another opportunity to preach. And it's not to let us make some list somewhere. Everything you see exists for you. Period. It's all for TJ and for Robert Thurman. It's for all you guys who are getting ready to go out there. It's for all you guys who are already there. And every dynamic pastor that you heard get on this pulpit, it's all, they do it just for you. We have no other reason to exist. Never underestimate the commitment that every one of these guys are making to see you successful. Because we know in our hearts, if you're successful, ARC will be successful, and we will fulfill the call of God on our lives. So never underestimate it. Never think that this conference was for so we could all could hear each other speak. Okay? Because we can do that online, can't we? But it's all for you. And every intern that's here, you are heroes because you're our future. Every church planter, you're the most prized possession to each one of us personally. So I want to thank you. I personally want to thank you for the commitment that you've made. Charlene and I, day in and day out, we're concerned only about you. And I know because of that and because of the heart of everybody in this leadership team and our other church planters out there, they're thinking about you and your success. We know that you have the very best chance on earth to be successful because you'll never walk alone. As the song was earlier, we're here simply to stand by you. So use us up. Okay? God bless you, each and every one of you. And thank you for what you're doing for the kingdom of God. Amen.